Well, I want us to look again at Mary's surrender to the plan and purpose of God. We're going to take a couple of Sundays here with Mary, and there you go. I like that. A couple of Sundays to kind of focus on that, the response of this young teenage girl and the surrender of her plans for the future and her willing and obedient heart is really quite extraordinary when you stop to think about it. And I think it's worthy of our attention. If you look at the high school Sunday school class, or go back on Wednesday night and take a look and think, I wonder which of these girls I would choose to be the mother of the Son of God. It's just, we'd think, well, we need somebody with a little more maturity. Not that these girls aren't lovely and pure or whatever, but just that, like, would you want to trust a 16-year-old, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I think there's some important lessons we can learn from Mary's obedient response. So as we did last Sunday, we're going to look at that passage of the Annunciation when Gabriel comes to Mary, found in Luke chapter 1. And in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at her words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." You'll actually see this played out tonight if you come back. Boy, it was so good. You'll want to be here. But anyway, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God, and you'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. So Mary was like all of us, or at least like we used to be at one time, for some of us. We were once young and maybe in love and full of plans and potential, and we're looking into a future that we think is filled with hope and possibility and great expectations of things. And Gabriel's arrival and his message to Mary kind of threw a wrench into the plans, right? It was an unexpected curve from what she was planning. Big changes were coming. This was unexpected. It was an unplanned pregnancy for sure. And for most everyone, not just Mary, but for all of us, we would have to say that means it's uncomfortable. Everything about that was uncomfortable, physically uncomfortable for her, the conversation she was going to have with Joseph and with her family and the people in the village that knew her. Nazareth was a small town, a few hundred people maybe at that time. And so everything about it was unplanned, unexpected, and uncomfortable. We said last Sunday, at the place where God's kingdom and God's plans break into our plans, it's likely to be a place of pain. It's easy for us to say it would likely be uncomfortable. And the truth is, if you're pregnant, not just with a baby, but if you're pregnant with anything, if you're pregnant with an idea or a dream or a possibility, it's likely to mean change and discomfort. But the end of that is birth and something new. You're pregnant with this idea of becoming a college graduate or becoming a doctor or whatever. Well, there's a lot of pain involved in doing that, all right? A lot of long nights and a lot of work and a lot of study and all that, but there's something wonderful at the end. There's going to be something brand new coming. So again, whether it's birthing a child or maybe it's birthing a new business or a new project, or maybe you're pregnant with a dream, a vision of something that you're to build or to create or something that you're going to become. You're pregnant with a new calling or a new ministry the Lord is speaking to you about. There'll be change, and you'll carry that pregnancy, you'll carry that baby, that dream, that calling, and eventually there'll be labor and delivery, and there'll be blessing, and there'll be celebration, and there'll be some pain and discomfort, but God will birth something wonderful through you if you'll just go through the process. And Gabriel's message was frightening and wonderful all at the same time. And Mary can either view this news as this pregnancy as trouble or as blessing. It depends on her response. Oh, this is great news, right? It may be the case for you. You know, if suddenly you found out you were pregnant, just looking around the room here, a lot of you, it would be, a lot of you would be really terrifying, right? Lawsuits against the doctor. There'd be a lot of stuff. So it's either trouble or it's blessing. It depends on your response. We pointed out last week, Mary asked, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And we can give the same response to God's call to us at times. How can this be? I mean, how can I do this? I'm a virgin. I'm a novice. I'm inexperienced. I've never done this before. And the church can say, we don't want to birth anything new. We've never done this before. We like things the way they are. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want things like that happening to us. We can't. We've never done it before. We don't know how to do this. We don't know what to do. We don't know what the solution is. What should we do? And Gabriel gives Mary and us part of the answer in verse 35 when Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit is going to be behind this. This is how we take the next step. When God calls us to something, when He births something in us and we say, but I don't know how to do that. I've never done that before. How are we going to do that? We're going to look to Him and say, I'm going to need the Lord's help, and the Holy Spirit will be there to overshadow us. It's the Spirit at work in us. That's how we're going to do it. What we don't know how to do, this is how we do the impossible. This is how we do what we've never done before. We allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. And look at this as a consequence of the Spirit's work then, because the Holy Spirit's going to be involved in this. Then verse 37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you hear that? What do? You call upon the Lord and you trust the Holy Spirit, and because He's present, nothing will be impossible with God. I like that. I like that. I'm trusting Him. The truth is, redemption's plan was set in motion in the garden in Genesis 3 when the Lord spoke of the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent. And we know that to be this, what do we call that? The proto-evangelium, right? So it's this Genesis 3 message that says, no, the day's going to come, though the devil seems to be winning, the serpent seems to have won round one of this battle, but the day's going to come when the seed of the woman, when Mary's son, Jesus will, he'll strike his heel, but Jesus is going to crush his head. And so the defeat of Satan is prophesied in Genesis 3. And everything is ready for redemption's plan to enter its ultimate phase. Paul refers to this as the fullness of time. It was in the fullness of time that Jesus is born. At the fullness of time, the birth of the Savior, heaven's sacrificial lamb, it all comes down. And think of this, for this however many thousands of years from Genesis 3 to this moment, everything has pointed to this, move and action of God to birth redemption into the world in His Son, for God to become incarnate in this moment. And it all comes down to a decision to be made by a teenage girl in a tiny little village in the Middle East. How extraordinary is that? How amazing is the risk that God takes, the confidence He has in the right response and the right decision of this young girl that He's chosen. Mary, you found favor with God, but she still has to decide. God's not going to force her to be an unwilling participant in this miracle. He won't force you either. She's been chosen, she's found favor, but she has to embrace this choosing, yes or no. And everything rests on Mary's response. Mary, what's your heart tell you? What's your heart tell you? What's it saying? What do we find when we look into the heart of this one who gave birth to the one who is God? Well, let me show you some things about Mary's heart. First of all, Mary had a surrendered heart. And the answer all of heaven was waiting for is expressed so beautifully in Mary's response, I'm the Lord's servant. may it be to me as you've said. And we focused on that last Sunday. But notice again the importance of Mary's yes, that it comes from her heart. It comes from a life that she's chosen to surrender to the Lord. And tradition says, we told you last week, that Anna and Joachim took her to the temple in Jerusalem when she was 3 and gave her to the priest to be raised there in fulfillment of a promise they had made, because they didn't have children and they were counting on the Lord's blessing. And so, however, whether that's factual or not, what we know is that she had surrendered her heart to the Lord and would continue to do that throughout her life. And regardless of the cost or the pain ahead, regardless of the unknown, and she was about to step into all of this uncertainty, this uncomfortableness. She had no idea what all this was going to mean, but Mary said yes. She didn't know that there was going to be a cross out there. She didn't know all the things that would happen, but she said yes because she was a servant of the Lord and was surrendered to Him. Her life belonged to Him. Folks, your surrender to Jesus then determines the direction of your life. It settled the question. You don't have to figure out, well, I don't know where how I'm going to do this. We just already know, Lord, I'm going to do what you ask of me to do. I'm gonna take whatever assignment you give me. I'm going to follow you and respond in obedience. She was surrendered to Him and to His will. And consider this morning, that commitment and obedience to the Lord and surrender to His will, that response allows for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which then takes the limit off of all the other circumstances. It makes all things possible. Mary's yes, your yes to Him, engages the power of heaven. None of this was going to happen. There wasn't going to be a miracle conception and a miracle birth unless Mary said yes. And when she did, then the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes, and then all things become possible. Nothing's impossible, but it depends upon our response. Let me say it again. Your yes to God this morning engages the power of heaven. Are you getting that this morning? Because you're looking just a little cold and sleepy. So go ahead and rub the sleep out of there. The impossible becomes possible when we surrender to the Lord and say yes. I know you're having to hold your head back to see me because I'm a foot higher than usual and you're having to adjust your bifocals. But anyway, stick with me this morning. So your yes engages the power of heaven. So Mary, the second thing, Mary had a believing heart. So not only did Mary surrender to God's plan, she believed that the impossible was truly possible with God. When she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, it was Elizabeth said of Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Blessed is the one who believes that what the Lord said is going to be accomplished. Mary was a girl with pretty simple childlike faith, really. And when Gabriel told her the Holy Spirit would accomplish this miraculous conception and birth, that was all Mary needed to know. We talked about it last week. She didn't ask for any details. You know, do I sign something? I'm going to need more information. None of that. Mary just believed God, you know. The old saying about God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That was pretty much Mary's response. God said it, the angel told me, I believe it. So that's it, you know, bottom line. And Joseph questioned at first, and I'm sure others were skeptical. How can this be? Was the question that was no doubt asked by more than just Mary. How could this be? But Mary just believed God. And God may have spoken something into your heart that seems unlikely or impossible, just as He did to Mary. And you may have shared it with someone else. I think the Lord is saying this to me. I feel like God's put this in my heart. I believe He's given me a gift to do this or whatever. And they've told you, well, that's impossible. You know, how can this be? No one in our family's ever tried anything like that. Well, we just don't see that. I mean, who do you think you are? You can't pull that off. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, whatever the argument might be about people that just kind of want to hold you back from pursuing that dream, you know. Well, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing what God has shown you. Don't stop believing what God's put in your heart. This is how we bring to birth what God has spoken to us. We surrender to God's plan, and then like Mary, we believe that what the Lord has said will be accomplished in our lives, and we just keep on obeying the Lord. God said it. We've got that in our heart. I just believe this is supposed to happen, and so we just keep going. We keep trusting. We keep counting on Him. We've surrendered it to Him, so we've got this believing heart that says God is somehow going to come through. Right. There's further evidence of it in the story of Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana. And it was at that wedding that Jesus turned the water into wine. You can read the story in John chapter 2. But you'll see that it happened because of Mary's believing heart. And she told Jesus the host had run out of wine, and he said, it's too soon, you know, what are you doing here, whatever. And so Mary maybe kind of stepped back from that, but then she turned around to the servants and just, because she had confidence that Jesus was going to do the right thing, she just said, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Mary had confidence in her son and a faith that would carry her, not just in that moment, would carry her through everything she was going to encounter. Just do what Jesus tells you to do. Whatever he says. It's all pretty simple from Mary, all right? God said it, that's it. Just do whatever Jesus tells you to do. It's a pretty good motto for life. Do whatever he tells you. You can just underline that, John 2, verse 5. What's your plan for the future?
Yep.
Right? Yep. How do you think you're going to navigate your marriage?
Yep.
Do whatever she tells you would be good for the guys, but whatever. Get an amen from that besides the laughter. Thank you very much. Whatever. But that's how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? Because I feel like that's what the Lord told me to do. Why would you do that? I feel like that's what the Lord said. Well, it doesn't make much sense. I just feel like that's what I'm supposed to. You think filling big old pots with water and taking it to the steward or whatever, you think that made sense? You know, you're giving him water and then turns out it's wine. Do whatever he tells you. That's going to be our answer. God said it. We're just going to believe it. Other family members didn't believe till after the resurrection of Jesus, but Mary just knew God had said it. She believed what the Lord had said would be accomplished, and whatever Jesus tells you to do, believe it and obey it. And then Mary had a thankful heart. And what we call the Magnificat, Mary's song that's found beginning in verse 46 of chapter 1. She expresses her praise and her thanks to the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And if you read the rest of her song, Mary gives praise to God because his mercy extends to those who fear him. She praises him because his mercy is not just for one moment in time or for one family, but it extends from generation to generation. She gives thanks because God has performed mighty deeds. He's brought down the proud, but he's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things. He's remembered his people. He's not forgotten his promises, but instead he's come to fulfill his word and his promise. So how can we birth what God puts in our heart? How do we move ahead? We acknowledge God's faithfulness and his mercy, and we give thanks and praise to God. Mary had a thankful heart that was filled with gratitude for what God had done in the past and great expectation of what he was going to do. It makes a difference in how we live our lives if we've got a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. Mary had a thankful heart. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. She was giving him thanks and praise because of what he had done. And then Mary had a contemplative heart, or contemplative. I've heard it both ways. Mary had a contemplative heart. After Mary gave birth to Jesus, how was she able to carry on and to stay surrendered to all God was doing in her life and in the life of her son? She had all these questions. And again, what does it mean? And all the miracle part of this. And then as Jesus began his ministry, and then he was doing things that didn't all make sense. I remember at one point in time, Mary Jesus' brothers came and they thought maybe he's lost his mind. You know, he's not eating. He's just going around healing people and whatever. And I mean, it was weird and all that. But Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2 that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Others expressed their opinions. about what all of it meant, but Mary treasured up these things. That word means to preserve or to conserve something from ruin. And Mary took all of these things that were said and preserved them. She hid them like a treasure in her heart, and she remembered them and wisely, for the most part, I think, just watched to see what God was going to do instead of constantly chiming in to say, now, Jesus, I don't think you ought to be doing that, all right? Because we saw that at the miracle, do whatever he says to do. And so she was watching to see how it was all going to come to pass. How is God going to fulfill everything he had promised? She had a heart that was willing to wait on God's timing to fulfill his promises. She pondered and considered and guarded them and thought about them often, and she never stopped believing and trusting God to make good on his promise. And I'm guilty, and maybe a lot of us are, of just expecting an immediate fulfillment of God's word. All right, so if you hear something in a message or you read a scripture and you think, that's it, that's for today, come on, God. And then when nothing happens, we're just saying, what's the deal? I thought you said, and there's a host of things that we can, you know, put in the blank there or whatever. And what we need to do then maybe is treasure up some things in our heart and wait on God and trust his timing and meditate on them and guard them and wait and see how God's going to do this. He will fulfill his promise in the fullness of his time and in his own way, but you can trust him. And there are things that I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and I thought, oh, that's going to happen to me or my life or whatever. And then I've come to think, you know what, maybe it wasn't me. Maybe it was Sarah. Maybe it was Rebecca. Maybe it was something entirely different. And I've come to understand that what that word was to me maybe had a bigger sense to it and a grander plan than what I understood. And so I'm going to trust the Lord in all that. And then Mary had a broken heart. A few days after his birth, Mary and Joseph took Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord and to offer the sacrifice that was required and for a male child or whatever. And Simeon then, this old man who had been there, he was, I don't know, whatever he was, 100 years old, and he'd been waiting all this time for the consolation of Israel, so he was there constantly. And then when they brought him in, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, that's the one. And he went over and took the baby, and then Simeon said to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he said, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And then he said, Merry Christmas. No, I don't know if he said that, but anyway, seemed like kind of a somber thing to say to some, right? I mean, it always, when I read that, always, my entire life, when I read that, it just seems kind of spooky somehow or another, you know? You've got your newborn baby, and an old guy comes over and says, there's going to be a lot of trouble because of this kid, and a sword's going to pierce your own heart. Have a nice day. Something about it is a little unsettling to me somewhere or another, and I'm sure it was to her. You know, I mean, she had to walk away and say, Joe, did you hear what that old guy said? A sword's going to pierce my heart. I mean, what is that? I hate when God says that kind of stuff, you know? I always think, when he told Joshua, be of good courage, go in and take the land. Like, why are you telling me to be of good courage? Is there something out there that's going to scare me? You know, and so, don't worry, but a sword will pierce your own soul. She pondered that in her heart for 33 years, wondering how all of this would come about. What could it all mean? What would be the timing for everything? When's this sword going to pierce my heart? The fact that they then had to pack up and head to Egypt might have been the beginning of that, might have been an indication when the king decides he wants to kill you and your baby. But at the crucifixion, those prophetic words are revealed with this raw and graphic effect as Mary witnesses the execution, the brutal execution of her beloved son. And John tells us Mary was standing at the foot of the cross, and Jesus spoke to her and provided for her, thinking about her, providing for her care, and John took her into his home. And I don't know how she could stand it to watch her son die this horrible death. Mary had a broken heart, but she knew that she'd been told by the angel that she was to name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. She knew that somehow redemption was at work in all this, and redemption required an awful price. Her broken heart pondered everything God had said and all that God intended and all God had promised and fulfilled in Jesus' life and in his death. Look at this. This is a powerful piece written by Lucy Shaw, and I've read this multiple times. I've used it before in past years, and if there's a way to take a picture of it and you can ponder the depth of this. She called it Mary's Song. Blue homespun and the bend of my breast keep warm this small, hot, naked star fallen to my arms. Rest, you who have had so far to come. Now nearness satisfies the body of God sweetly. Quiet he lies with vigor hurled a quiet he lies whose vigor hurled a universe. He sleeps whose eyelids have not closed before. His breath, so slight it seems no breath at all, once ruffled the dark deeps to sprout a world. Charmed by doves' voices, the whisper of straw, he dreams, hearing no music from his other spheres. Breath, mouth, ears, eyes, he is curtailed who overflowed all skies, all years. Older than eternity, now he is new. Now native to earth as I am, nailed to my poor planet. Caught that I might be free, blind in my womb to know my darkness ended, brought to this birth for me to be newborn, and for him to see me mended, I must see him torn. Wow. Mary had a broken heart, but because of that, Mary had a new heart. Mary knew Jesus differently than any of us. We mentioned it last week that the early church fathers gave her the title Theotokos, the mother of God incarnate, God bearer. And indeed, Mary carried Jesus in her womb as his mother, and yet Mary had to believe upon him as not only her son, but as her savior, and she received eternal life for that. Mary carried Jesus in her womb to give him life, and she carried Jesus in her heart to inherit that eternal life, the gift of God. Through faith in Jesus and in his sacrifice, Mary has a new heart, and so can we. And the last time we hear of Mary is in Acts chapter 1. She's listed with all of the disciples who return from watching Jesus ascend into heaven, and they return and go into the upper room and begin to seek the Lord, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they all join together constantly in prayer, talking about the disciples along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And Mary was there, numbered among the believers, numbered among those in the upper room who were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And in Luke's gospel, she carries him in her womb, and in Acts, she carries him in her heart and is baptized with the Holy Spirit that had overshadowed her those 33 years ago. And in Luke, she nurses Jesus at her breast, and in Acts, she bows before him in worship and adoration. And in Luke, she calls him Jesus and son, and in Acts, she calls him Savior and Lord. Mary, this devoted one with a surrendered, obedient heart, Mary loved her son, and it's to her credit, she never left him. Peter denied him. The disciples fled from the garden, but Mary was there at the end. She was at the cross as he gave his life for her and for us. She was watching as he was torn so we could be mended. Blessed are you, Mary, not because you were conceived without sin, but because of your surrendered and obedient heart, your believing heart, your thankful heart, your contemplative heart, your broken heart, your new born again heart. Blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And God is still birthing plans in the hearts and lives of his people. He's still calling people of all ages to surrender to him and to his will, to say yes to him. So I ask you this morning, what new thing is God desiring to birth in you? And are you willing to say yes? And like Mary, as we said last week, everything rests on your response. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to you. May it be to me as you've said. And maybe you've said yes, but you haven't seen things happen yet. You're wondering about the timing. Just don't stop believing what the Lord has said to you will be accomplished. Stay thankful. Remain obedient. Protect and ponder these things in your heart and keep saying yes to him and to his will, and it's going to happen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I know it's late, but I wonder if we could just sing this little chorus as maybe as our response to the Lord today. We don't sing it too much anymore, but it's simple to sing. I'll say yes Yes, yes, I'll say yes, 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 I'll say yes, Lord, to your will, Lord, I'll say yes, 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 sing it again. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, to your will, Lord. I'll say yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, to your will more. I'll say yes, yes, yes. Lord, we say yes to you this morning. Whatever you're asking of us, it may not be as daring as what you ask of Mary that day, but you're asking of us. You're asking, really, in some way, the same thing, a full surrender of our life and our heart to you, a surrender of our gifts and our plan and our future, everything, Lord, to be surrendered to you. And the response of our heart needs to be yes to you. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. For some of us, it may be a different season of our life. You may be asking something that certainly seems a little bigger, a little more of a major kind of yes at this moment, Lord. It may mean greater sacrifice for us. But Lord, I know that when we say yes to you, that something powerful is birthed in us. And so this morning, Lord, this morning, I pray that in the quiet of this moment, you'll speak to somebody's heart and the prompting of the Holy Spirit will bring them to that yes to you, yes to what you're asking of them, yes to that new plan, yes to that calling, yes to a new lifestyle, yes to a new way of living, yes to new choices, yes to new endeavors, yes to a new assignment, yes to a new job, yes, Lord, in our relationships, yes to whatever you ask of us, Lord. We say yes to you and we believe for good things to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. I had a message yesterday for someone who may be watching this morning, and an 80-year-old preacher, retired, lives off in the Northwest, and she responded, I listened to your message last week, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about saying yes. I thought, you know, I'm too old and the time's passed, but the pastor came to me and said, would you be willing to do this? And she said, and I knew that I was supposed to say yes and to continue to do what God called me to do. I'm telling you, you're not too old to say yes to what the Lord has for you. Amen to that? Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Keep saying yes to Jesus. If you weren't here last night, you got to be here tonight. It's your last chance, and I'm telling you, it was outstanding, outstanding. So you will be blessed tonight. We'll see you at 6 o'clock. Thanks for joining us today.